be when he said to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise? That as we're doing that, it changes our mindset. Amen. Amen. Helps us not to be conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. How many know that we have to renew our minds daily? It's not a weekly experience. It's a daily thing we need to do. Amen. As we continue our study on true Christian characteristics tonight, we looked at new birth, new growth, new attire, new radiance, new house, new revelation. And tonight we're going to look at a new relationship. A new relationship. Thank you, Lord. Smile if you love Jesus. Smile if you love Jesus. I didn't say sleep if you love Jesus. It's smile. Oh, you're going to stand on your head. Praise God. John chapter 1, verse number 12. Do we have the PowerPoint? Hallelujah. A new relationship. Oh, there we go. Praise God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This speaks of relationship. And the first thing he says here is, but as many as receive him. So it's important to receive. Now, when I was looking at that, the Lord was talking to me about the Word. Jesus is the Word. When not only we receive him, but we receive the Word. The Word is so important for us to overcome and be victorious. So he says, but as many as received him. So first we're going to look at to receive. It was kind of interesting when I looked at this. In Acts chapter 2, after the day of Pentecost is here, they gladly received the word. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. The word of God says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now they didn't just gladly received his word, but they continued. It's not only about how we start, it's the continuation. The word of God says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You know, I think praying together is so important. And we find, if I would say if there's one thing lacking in this house, is corporate praying together. Amen? If one could put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000, what could take place if we would come in unity in prayer? Amen. I truly believe, according to God's word, prayer truly changes things. Amen. So he says that, and then when they were praying and receiving the word gladly, and they were in fellowship together, and they were breaking bread together, and all of a sudden, signs and wonders begin to take place. Amen? So many times, what we look for is we like to see the signs and wonders take place, but we don't want to do any of the energy that it takes to produce it. Amen? Amen. Now, as they're praying together and they're fellowshipping together and they're studying the word together, all of a sudden there's 3,000 that have come to the Lord in one day. Why? Because the body was able to take care of them. Because the body was operating in unity because they were in the doctrine, they were in fellowship, they were dining together, they were praying together, they were walking together in unity. You know, so one of the things that first he said, they gladly received it. Not only in the word of God did it say they gladly received it, the word, but also they readily received the word. Readily. Well, what do you mean there? Well, turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Verse number 11. Paul's at Berea here. And he's speaking to the church at Ephesus here. And he says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. In other words, they just didn't hear the word. They went and researched it. Amen? Amen. In other words, when the Apostle Paul says in the study to shew ourselves approved workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, he is saying, just as the word goes forth, for example, if I hear a word and it doesn't ring with my spirit or it doesn't, I go and research it. I study it out. And then I know if I'm going to receive it inside of me. In other words, what they were readily received the word with readiness of mind. And that's just like, I think one of the things that the Father wants us to understand is God will never make us do anything at all. He isn't going to first forced the word on us, but he said, hey, they gladly received it and with readiness of mind. In other words, they were open-minded. Amen? In other words, if I don't come into his house with an open mind, I'm not going to receive anything. Sometimes we just go through the Christian motions. This is the way we do it. We come in and we say a prayer and we sing some songs and he preaches the word and then we get to go home. But it doesn't benefit. And God wants you and I to keep an open mind. Because when they gladly received his word, you have to separate you two. When they gladly received the word, they had readiness of mind. And then all of a sudden, the word became effective. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse number 13, excuse me. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In other words, what the Lord is saying to you and I, but as many as received him, they received the word, when we gladly received the word, with readiness and readily receive the word with readiness of mind, then the word will have an effect. It will effectively manifest itself. Amen? I took her phone. Huh? Did you have to separate her from it?
Yes.
Time of separation. She's looking at funny stuff. If she was looking at the word, it'd be different. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Huh? So, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. I put on this is to achieve. I like to rhyme or whatever, so I got receive and achieve. But look with me, and the achieve is to be his. Look with me in Romans 8. You might say, I already know this. The fruit isn't showing it. If you already have revelation and understanding of who you are in Christ Jesus and who you are, some of the things that are happening in your life don't get their way in you any longer. Amen? We have power through God's word. We have promises of him. He says, hey, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And as a son of God, I think we, our son, our daughter of God, we've got to recognize who we are. And Romans 8:14 says this. He says, but you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen? In other words, I've been grafted into the family of God by Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this. You can never battle the adversary unless you know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you're not going to convince him of who you are. Amen? The Lord was speaking to my heart about a bipolar spirit. And I was asking him about a bipolar spirit, and the Father was talking to me about the spirit of man and the spirit of God. We have two spirits when Christ comes in. And one thing about the spirit of God, if it doesn't align along with his word, it's not him. So anything that's not aligning with his word is coming from my own spirit, and I can't call it his spirit. He breathed in us, and we become living vessels he breathed life into us. That's the spirit of man that's inside of us. Amen. In other words, we're not feeding the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't need the word. The Holy Spirit is the word. We're feeding the spirit of man, the word of God, so the spirit of man can be convinced that the Holy Spirit is greater than that spirit. So there's a battle that takes place on the inside. Amen? And it takes place in the body of Christ. It's a constant battle. I'll explain more when we get to Sunday. He says, secondly, to be an heir, in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 7. We'll go to verse number 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He said, wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, if we look at this in the natural, and my children in their heritage have whatever belongs to me. When they have an inheritance from me, okay? And my grandchildren have an inheritance from me. And we have an inheritance from the kingdom of God. And we don't have to wait to get to heaven or die to get it. He already died and paid for it and gave it to you and I so that we could have all the fullness of him in life. You know, I don't know about you, but I believe that we're supposed to walk in blessing and favor. Amen? Why? Because we're children of God. And if we believe God owns everything, then we're pretty wealthy. And if he's in control of everything, then no weapon the enemy forms against me can prosper. Because I have to have revelation and understanding who I am. Amen? What the adversary constantly tries to do is to steal our identity. Amen? He tries to show you and make your weakness greater than God's strength. And we have to recognize that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen? That I'm not resting and relying on me. I'm trusting and relying in him. And as kings and princes and kings and queens and princesses in the kingdom of God, he says also that we are his, we are heirs, but he also says that we're supposed to remain harmless. We're not to let it go to our head. Amen? One of the things the Lord was speaking to my heart about, it's not always about your public praying. He says what we ask in secret, he will reward openly. So we don't always, even though corporate prayer is great, it's important for us to pray individually. I go to my prayer closet. Do you have a special place where you go to pray? I have a good place that I go meet God. Where's your prayer place? You know what God, first thing that God did when with this universe, the Bible says this universe was in chaos. And the first thing God did was spoke it into order. Look with me in Philippians chapter 2. It's all good. Verse number 15. Again, we're heirs. We're his. We're heirs. We received his word gladly with readiness of mind so it would have an effect on you, not her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To become sons of God. We're his. We're heirs. Verse number 15 says this, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Amen. He tells us to be holy, for he is holy. We're being transformed into his image. Amen. He loves everyone right where you're at. He loves you so much. He doesn't want to leave you there. Amen? He wants us to be victorious. He says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To believe on his name. And the third one is to believe. Speaks of a spiritual inheritance. Look with me in James chapter 2. Now see, I'd rather have a teaching where I could get fire and all this stuff, but the Lord says I was supposed to do this, so I'm just following instructions. Somebody needed this. Amen? And the Lord says, and he says this, and he reminded me, that in the room, there's many different levels in the word. And sometimes if you keep shooting over top of heads, you miss people. And God wants to reach each and every one of us right where we're at. And he wants you to have revelation and understanding is when you received him, that you achieved a heritage from him because you believe in his name. And when we believe in his name, it gives us a spiritual inheritance. He says in James chapter 2, verse number 5, he says, hearken. In other words, pay attention. My beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Who did he choose?
Me.
Have chosen the poor of this world, rich in what? In faith, and heirs of what? The kingdom, which he did what? He promised to them that. Does anybody love Jesus in here? You love Jesus? Amen. So to those that love him, he says, hey, that you're heirs of the kingdom. Amen. And he says in this, it's a spiritual foundation. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6. The word of God says this. He says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Amen. God doesn't want anybody to be confused. He wants you to recognize and realize all the promises in him are yes and amen, that he's given us these things so that we can be victorious, not only in the future in heaven, but here on earth. Amen. When he said, when Isaiah said, for he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was wounded. He was pierced, and blood flowed out of his side. And in other words, the blood that flows on the outside is for the washing away on the outward things, okay? He takes care of through the blood. But when he says he was bruised for our iniquities, that's bleeding on the inside. He bled on the inside to take care of everything that's inside of you and I. It's bruised on the inside. In other words, if you're having a problem with your mind or you're having a problem with your things, those are for the iniquity. He was bruised for that. That's the inward work of Christ from the inside. It's bleeding not only on the outside, but he bled for the inside. And so we would have revelation and understanding that there's working both ways, not just the outwardly, but the inwardly. And by his stripes, we are healed. And those stripes bring us healing. Amen. And that's heritage. That heritage belongs to you and I as his children. That gives us spiritual assurance. So look with me in 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 13. The word of God says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. To me, that says, thank you, Jesus. Amen? In other words, for me to have a positive effect in my body, my mind, my soul, and my spirit, I have to have revelation and I have to believe him and his word. Amen? That his word is true. And I have to change, I got to change the way I think. In other words, my mind is the most, this is what we have to bring under captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ, when we're casting down those imaginations. Yes.
For me to know you.
For me to know you. Amen. That was that Sunday you paid attention, wasn't it? Justy was funny this Sunday. I asked him, I said, man, I can't find 1 Peter. Do you know where it is, Dusty? And Dusty said, right before 2 Peter. Smarty pants.
The Lord told me to tell you that.
Lord told me that. Now, wait a minute. Remember we're talking about the spirit of man and the spirit of God? Which spirit was that?
Huh?
Which spirit was that?
God.
Father, I pray against this confusion in Jesus' name. Yes.
Pastor in the Bible says, casting down the imaginations.
That exalt himself.
What does that consist of?
Well, the thoughts that come in that sometimes when we cast down, it was casting down every imagination that exalted itself above the knowledge of God. In other words, if I know what God's word says, and I've studied God's word, and when the devil says this isn't going to work for you, that's for someone else, it's not for you, all of a sudden, I got to cast down those lies, that deception, those imaginations. Imaginations would be almost like in our dream life when thoughts come in, thoughts that do not align with the word of God. I've got to take those thoughts, and I got to immediately bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, I got to put them under the blood of Jesus. And then I got to cast them away. Amen? And when I cast something away, it was just like the Lord was trying to say to us tonight, is if you're going through something, you know, if I'm going through something and something's really bothering me, you know what I start doing? I start singing praise songs to the Lord. Hello? All of a sudden I start singing praises to him, and all of a sudden those thoughts are those things. It isn't just about casting those thoughts down. You got to replace them. And if you don't replace them, they're just going to hang out. The devil will just hang out there and come at you a little later when you're not prepared. And believe me, this is the battlefield right here. Come on. This is the true battlefield, is right here. Amen. And when we have revelation and understanding, this thing right here supplies everything in your body. Every organ, every muscle, everything. This is the core. This is the thing. And when this comes under captivity to the obedience of Christ, the obedience of Christ, all of a sudden, when this comes to that, then I can start casting down because I brought my mind under submission to God's word. Amen. We are under whatever we submit to. And whatever we submit to has control. We've released control. So what we're doing is we're submitting to the word. So when the devil comes in and tries to mess with us, a lot of times that thoughts may be negative thoughts. It could be lust. If lust is an issue, if lust comes in, I've got to bring it under captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I've got to cast down that imagination. In other words, I've got to replace it. I've got to take authority on it because that's something for men. Everybody deals with it in some level. Amen? So that's an area which, you know, let no man say when he is tempted by God because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does God tempt any man. But when tempted, we're drawn away by our own lust. When lust is enticed, when lust is conceived, it becomes sin. And when sin is finished, it becomes death. All the way through that, we had opportunities to cast down and bring under captivity. Let no man say when he is tempted. Oh, God, you brought this beautiful woman in my life. Did God bring that beautiful woman in your life? If you're looking at it like, no, he didn't. If you're looking at her the wrong way, amen. If you're looking at her with lust, he didn't bring her to you. Amen. Because he wouldn't do that. God says he will never put more on you than you can bear, and he always gives you an avenue of escape. Amen? So it's a common practice for us to learn to do is not just to cast down the imagination and bring it into captivity, but to replace it. I've got to replace it with something. Amen? Our mind's got to be constantly filled with something. Amen? So what is he saying to us tonight? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen? That hey, when we gladly receive his word with readiness of mind, it has an effect. The effect is we recognize who we are. We're children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. Amen? And that's what we achieve. We achieve sonship. We're heirs to the kingdom of God. And then we start walking in the spiritual fullness of God. And that's why the apostle Paul would say in Romans 1:16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek." Amen? Power to become sons and daughters of God. Amen? I don't know about you, but when I think about that, and I think about God that created this entire universe, considers me his son. Hello? And when I have revelation and get understanding that, he fills the whole atmosphere so I'm never without him. My daddy will never leave me nor forsake me. He's always as close as the call of his name. Many may have dads and moms that are forsaking them. And they have a misunderstanding about dads and moms. This is a pure, loving daddy that loves you just the way you are, that created you perfect. The imperfections of this world came in, but God didn't create another one like you. There isn't two alike. Twins aren't alike. Amen? And if you don't believe that, anybody that's around twins knows that they may look alike, but their personalities aren't alike. Is Barbara and Judy alike? It's kind of interesting with my twin sisters. For many years, Judy was the dominant one, and she was the boss. And now Barbara got tired of it. Now she's the boss. Oh, they fight all the time. Amen. So what is God saying to you tonight? Hey,